The next lesson that God has impressed upon me is this matter of making time. Making time, that's hard. Not just daily, like with an alarm clock, but weekly and monthly. Making time. The great people of the earth don't have the time to pray. It must be taken from something else that's important and pressing. So making time means taking time, setting aside time to pray. I believe that one of the reasons that God is working in India in a significant way is the prayer that is going into India, within India, and outside of India. We have 900 people that are on a confidential prayer list that have said that to get that confidential prayer letter, they will pray 1 hour a week. And that's the way they get that prayer letter. And I'll give a short commercial here. If anybody would like to get that prayer letter, if anybody would like to pray 1 hour a week, if you'll give any one of the Indian men or me your name and address, we will give it to you. But it means that before the Lord, you are looking to Him to pray for 1 hour a week, which is about 8 minutes a day. We're also starting one for China, a confidential prayer letter. There, we're only going to require you to pray 49 minutes a week. So if you're a little short of time, you can sign up for the China one. 49 minutes, you can figure out how many minutes a day that is. Well, there are these people praying, and I suppose 600 or 700 of these people are praying 1 hour a day for India. But the men in India set aside 30 days a year for prayer. That's 2.5 days a month, and they just work it right into their schedule. It's just scheduled that they pray 30 days a year, which is mainly prayer weekends. And there's some time in the Word and some fellowship and some sharing, but they're mainly times where they get 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 hours of actual prayer on a weekend. And I think this is one of the reasons that God is working. Well, it takes faith and discipline to schedule 30 of your, or to schedule 1 out of your 12 months for prayer. But men, many of us, men and ladies, are working in satanic cultures, either politically or religiously satanic, or some of both. Or maybe just, maybe not satanic in the broader sense of the religion itself, maybe just secular. And if we want to see breakthroughs, it's going to come through prayer as well as through hard work. God's grace, but also the hard work. And the big breakthrough in Japan came in 1964-65, as I recall. I might be wrong in the year, but it was when the whole navigators were focusing a year of prayer in Japan. We weren't so well organized, and we didn't have necessarily days of prayer and all that. But for 1 year, the navigators were focusing prayer in Japan, and that's when Nagai-san and Uno-san and Ichimura-san and a number of the other men, Ogawa-san, came out of that year. And I don't know just where they came, whether they got converted or whether they were, you know, took major steps ahead or just what. But I know that the big turning point in Japan was when there was a lot of focus in prayer. Well, I don't know that today that the navigators are going to focus on one country for a year or necessarily a month. But we do have our days of prayer. But you can focus prayer in your countries. And that means making time. Now suppose that you were an evangelist and you began to preach in a week-long crusade, a two-week crusade, and at the end of the first week, the Spirit of God really began to work and people were getting, every time you spoke, there were hundreds of people getting converted. You are a very important man to that evangelistic movement. Suppose in addition to that, people were getting healed and Christians were getting edified, which is exactly what happened in Luke chapter 5, except for the numbers. I'm not sure about the numbers. In Luke chapter 5, verse 15, it says, "But the news about him was spreading even further, and great multitudes were gathering to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But he would often slip off into the wilderness and pray." Jesus thought prayer was more important than being the main spokesman. And there were no substitutes in his day. He didn't delegate that to anybody else. More important to slip away and pray than to perform his teaching, preaching, healing ministry, for which part of work, which is part of his reason for coming. He made time for prayer. and he is our example. Daily time. I know men, a number of men that God is using. Some of them are a little bit off theologically. Some of them are quite young in their Christian life. But in both of cases, God is using them. But these men have given themselves to an hour a day of fellowship with the Lord in the Word and prayer. Early in their lives, they made a commitment, I will spend an hour a day with the Lord. In fact, one young man, or a couple of young men that I know that God's using in a significant way, they're not more than a few years old in the Lord, and they're spending an hour and a half a day with the Lord. They're making time, and God's using them. I don't think we can equate minutes with fruit in a very materialistic sense, but time with God changes us and changes others. And making time for the Word and making time for prayer is just part of what the Lord wants. Making time. Making time, maybe not start with a weekend of prayer, but you and your team start with a half day of prayer, starting at noon and praying till 6 or 7 at night. If you do, you should plan it. And personally, I find it is a great blessing when we have 20 or 30 people in prayer to break up into groups of, well, various size groups at various times. One of the usual patterns we'll do is to split everybody up in groups of 4 about 9 o'clock in the morning. And then they have enough information of what to pray for, and at 10 o'clock they split into four groups of two each. I mean, this group of 4 splits into 2 groups of 2, and they pray for an hour in 2s, and then they split and they pray for an hour individually. That way you get 3 hours of prayer with no further instruction. You get a lot of people praying, maybe for the same thing, and there's a lot of freshness and variety. And I think the Lord gave a special promise, although I don't want to over read into it, but he said, where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name. Now, he's there. After all, Pentecost came when 120 were gathered in his name. So he wasn't displeased with group prayer, but he's especially pleased with 2 or 3. That's enough. And he gives the example of individual prayer. And I would much rather pray with 2 or 3 than I would with 4, 5, or 6. First of all, it quickly gets around to you, and you don't have to guess whose turn it is, because, you know, if there's 2 of you and the other person stops, you don't have to be a college graduate to realize it's your turn. But suppose we had a prayer meeting here. Well, you know, nobody wants to dominate, and everybody's a little hesitant, but you pray. You say, well, that's my turn. And then, if you're not careful, your mind drifts, and you're saying very little amen, except when you doze a little and you say amen, just to let people know that you weren't asleep. But I don't think there's always very much praying done in a big group. It's hard work to concentrate and to pray with another person in a big group. But if you're in a big group, we should pray. And your mind can work 3 times faster than his voice. So you can pray 3 things about the thing he's praying about, 2 other things besides what he's praying while he's praying. But if you don't think that's hard work, it is. And if you try to do that for an hour or two, but a couple of you sauntering along the road or even on your knees, you can get a lot of praying done. So we do that. You can do that in an afternoon. Schedule some afternoons. Schedule some days or nights. Somehow I seem to enjoy the days better than the nights, but I've been in nights of prayer too, and what time of day it happens isn't important. The important thing is to give yourself to prayer and some weekends of prayer. Now, Doug Sparks will be bringing over a little outline of how to spend a weekend in prayer with just some suggestions for you and your group. In a little while, I'm going to pass out something else. Because if you're going to spend a weekend in prayer, you have to plan it well. It's very hard to get people to pray for 8 or 10 or 12 hours unless it's been well planned. And I'm going to pass out... This is just taken from one of our weekend prayer books, and it'll have different numbers, page 11 and page 26 and page 44 and so forth. They're just pages that we've picked out of the book, giving pictures and requests, and in a few cases, just maps of countries where we don't have any reps or any particular thing, because this kind of thing enables you in a prayer weekend not just to pray for your ministry, but to begin to pray for the world. And on the back is the Middle East and Islam. For 1,300 years, the gates of hell have been resisting the Church of Christ. And Jesus said it wouldn't happen. And one day, Islam is going to crack for Jesus Christ. And we can be part of the process, part of those 1,000 blows that cracked the rock. And was it the first blow or the last blow? Well, it was all 1,000 or 1 million. So we can begin to pray for Islam. Well, I'll be passing these out later just as a sample of the kind of information that you can put together. And it takes a little bit of work to get this together. A few of these pictures are slightly ancient of people you know here. But if you pray for them as they looked then, God will get it to them as they are now. So don't worry about it. He knows who you're praying for. Well, making time. You have to make time. It's hard work. You have to take time and make time. How little time the average Christian spends in prayer. We are too busy to pray, and so we are too busy to have power. We have a great deal of activity, but we accomplish little. The power of God is lacking in our lives and in our ministry. We have not because we ask not. That was R.A. Torrey. Well, how little time the average Christian, and occasionally, not often, the average navigator spends in prayer. Make time. The next is be persistent. Be persistent. That says Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, January, February, March, 1983, 84, and 85. Being persistent in prayer. Well, we have the great example of Jesus Christ. The disciples came to Christ in Luke chapter 11. Let's look at it. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Now, John 17 is really the Lord's prayer, where he does the praying. But here is the Lord's teaching on prayer, his pattern prayer. And it's full of rich lessons. In the first four verses, he goes through the Lord's prayer. And if you add the Matthew version, it adds a few other things to it and gives us the full picture of the Lord's prayer. And I imagine that Jesus was like most of us who preached the same sermon many times. And I suppose that he probably taught this prayer 20 or 30 or 50 or 100 times. As with many of his teachings, which accounts for sometimes the divergence from one gospel to the next, because they're reporting different times when he preached it, just like I preached this prayer message many times, and it's a little different every time. So we get these two, Matthew and Luke, and we put them together for the Lord's Prayer, and it's full of rich lessons. I would like to stop and talk to you how the first three requests just deal with God. And then the next deal with men, next four. And that's a good approach. First we focus on him, his name, his kingdom, his will. And then we focus on ourselves. Well, there are lots of lessons that we could learn from this. I'm going to bypass the more obvious lessons, rich and important as they are. And I'm going to choose two other very small, but I think important lessons from this prayer. And one is the last two requests. One in Luke just has one, but Matthew has two. The last two are defensive prayers. Out of seven requests, two have to do with negative prayer about something we don't want to happen. Lead us away from temptation and deliver us from the evil one and from his evil. How much do you pray negatively and defensively? How much do you pray against Satan? If you were Satan, how would you take aim at yourself? Well, you can probably think right away of three or four, just that pop to mind, three or four ways that Satan could tempt you. Maybe they're general ways, maybe they're specific ways. Maybe you have a special circumstance. How much do you pray defensively against those ways that Satan could tempt you? It's scriptural. Jesus said it here, and he said it in Matthew 26:41. He said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. So he gives us very clear commands about defensive prayer. One of the lessons we can learn. Another lesson is that if you time yourself, and often I do this with a group, in saying this prayer, somebody that knows it well, and you let them say it, it takes about 20 seconds. 7 requests in 20 seconds. Now, if you're a mechanical engineer or a civil engineer, you can figure out that 7 requests in 20 seconds, how many requests in 1 minute at that rate? 21, all right? 20 requests a minute. Now, you engineers, how many requests in 10 minutes? 210. You don't even have to be an engineer, do you? Well, you mean to say you can pray briefly, that specifically? Well, I wonder if that's not one of the things that Christ is trying to teach us here. That we can pray specifically and briefly and move on. When he gave the prayer the first time, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And just about the time that they got their papyrus out, and by the way, I have a little piece of papyrus here that Nabil Jabur sent me. So they fiddled around and they didn't have enough, so Thomas tore his papyrus half and gave part of it to John, and they were fiddling around for their pen and so forth. And just about time they got ready to take the notes, the prayer was over. Well, what would they have been impressed with? Well, they'd have been impressed with its richness. Well, they would have been impressed with its brevity. That Jesus covered a lot of ground in a short space of time, and he said, after this manner, pray. Well, I'd say, according to your faith, be it unto you. God gives me liberty to feel that I can make specific, brief requests and expect, if I'm praying with the foundations and in the conditions, that God will hear. And that lays the basis for the next one, that lays the basis for the next teaching, which is persistence. Well, in the next teaching, prayer is hard work. And that's the man with his face set like a flint and a little perspiration coming off him. Prayer is hard work. You have to give yourself to it. But brief prayer, the Lord gives me great liberty to initiate prayer with brief prayers and then to expand it and balloon it as he leads. Some people enjoy that kind of prayer, some don't. As the Lord leads you. Well, persistence. Then the next passage, verses 5 to 10. And you know this passage, how the friend comes to his friend at midnight and knocks on the door and says, what do you want? Well, I need 3 loaves of bread because a friend's come at midnight and I ate up all my bread. Now I want to eat up your bread. And he says, well, don't bother me. I'm in bed and the children are in bed. And you know, this is a little different. They're not sleeping upstairs in an air-conditioned bedroom or something or other. They're speaking like one of you said. They probably had mattresses painted on the floor. And they were, you know, just sleeping, the wife and the children and everybody and the servants and maybe the donkey were just sleeping all there on the floor. And, you know, it means unbolting the door and opening the door and unlocking it. You know, it's just a big disturbance to try and let the man in. Now, the man isn't obnoxious. He doesn't curse and kick the door. He just keeps on knocking. Pretty soon, I can imagine this is what happens. It doesn't say this is what happened, but maybe his wife begins to wake up, and she says, what's the matter? And then the children begin to cry a little bit, and the man over on that side, you know, maybe just a thin wall away, you can hear those neighbors stirring, and those neighbors stirring over there. And this man, who evidently wasn't too smart, he can see great family problems and very large public relation problems just over the horizon. And he says, just a minute, good friend, just a minute. So he unbolts the door and he, you know, steps over the hands and the feet and the faces so that he doesn't squash anything. And he goes and he gets all the bread he has and he says, this is all I have, but it's yours. Take it for the night and the Lord bless you. Shalom. Go in peace. Go. Go in peace. Well, now I've added a little bit to the scripture there. Though he will not rise and give him because he's his friend, yet because of his shameless persistence, because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Now the disciples come to Jesus and say, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus said, this is the way to pray, with persistence. And he goes right on because he gives the story and then he gives the application in verses 9 to 10. He says, and I say unto you, now he stopped telling the story, now he's speaking directly. And I say unto you, ask. And to get the meaning of this, we have to take it as what they call the continuous present. And he's saying, ask and keep on asking. That's the emphasis he's giving. And the NAS margin gives that. and the Amplified Version gives it. Ask and keep on asking, and it shall be given you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you shall find. Knock and keep on knocking, and it shall be given. It shall be open to you. Jesus is teaching persistence. And not only did Jesus teach it, but the great men of prayer through the years have practiced it. Hudson Taylor and Ari Torrey and George Mueller and David Brainerd and on and on and on, Count Zinzendorf and many others, practice persistence in prayer. And incidentally, Count Zinzendorf, who founded the great Moravian missionary movement, who was responsible for converting John Wesley and initiating some missionary work about 80 years before William Carey, they had two people praying 24 hours a day on their knees in a chapel for 100 years. They made time for prayer. No wonder God used them, and it may have been, they may have been the catalyst back of William Carey that started the modern missionary movement, even though he gets the credit for it. But only God knows, and God will take care of sorting out the rewards as he sees fit. Well, persistence in prayer. Jesus taught it, and if we miss it here in Luke 11, he gets it again in Luke 18 with a more difficult parable, but in any case, he's teaching the importance of day after day, night after night, speaking to the Lord. How do you balance this with Matthew 6:7? Which says, beware of vain repetitions. Well, vain repetitions are very different from full petitions and persistence before the Lord. A vain repetition is like Hindus and many others that take the name of their God and just say their God over and over during the day, God, 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 in order to build up merit. Or they, like a man I read about in Time magazine, and he was going to say the Lord's Prayer 3,000 times a day in order to bring world peace. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. 3,000 times a day. Well, it's interesting. A few years later, Time magazine came out that there were then, at that time, 27 hot wars. 27 shooting wars going on. Of course, today there's a few more, and some of those old ones. So either he gave up too soon, or he had the wrong formula. That's a vain repetition. But to pray day after day for years, as George Mueller said, I have been praying 52 years daily for two men, sons of a friend of my youth. They're not converted yet, but they will be. The great fault of the children of God is that they don't persevere in prayer. If they desire anything for God's glory, they should pray until they get it. 52 years of daily prayer. One of these men was converted at his funeral, one a few years later, at George Mueller's funeral, not the man's funeral. I want to be sure my theology is straight here. But George Mueller learned another lesson that's been very helpful to me, but it's just come into focus for me in the last, I suppose, year and a half or 2 years. George Mueller used to pray two or three times a day, and in some cases, five times a day, for certain things that he felt was the Lord's will. Sometimes he'd pray three or four times a day for 3 or 4 years before God would do it. In one case, he prayed five times a day for over 10 years before God answered. And I got to thinking about that, and I have a prayer list, and I'm going to mention prayer lists briefly in a minute. We're going to go a little bit over, but you know, if you're getting sleepy, pray, and pray for me to finish quickly. But I have a prayer list, and some of these people I pray for with not much feeling, but there are a number of people on there that I pray with great feeling, a few family members, but a number of others. And when I pray to those people, there's always, almost always, an exhilaration and an enjoyment with prayer. I don't know why. But if I limited my prayer to those that I really get exhilarated, I wouldn't pray for very much. But I decided I'd make a little list with those 12 or 13 people. This is my little special prayer list that I pray for two, or sometimes three times a day. And I just carry it in my pocket to remind me. I have one that I carry when I jog sometimes with a few other names on it. It's just a little special prayer list of people that I feel the Lord prompting me to especially pray for. So I pray for these extras. Or maybe it's not only the Lord's prompting, it's maybe personal desire. They're mostly Asians. In fact, they're all except one is an Asian that I just feel that God is prompting me to pray for. Some maybe because they're my responsibility, some maybe just because they're my interest. And so you can do a little extra prayer for a few special people. So have a little special prayer list. Whether you make a card or not isn't important, but you just go back to when you get a time for extra prayer. Well, prayer is hard work. You have to give yourself to it. Now, praying in the Spirit doesn't necessarily mean that we have a feeling of the Spirit's presence. Sometimes it does. But sometimes praying in the Spirit means just praying according to the will of the Holy Spirit, recorded in this book, and in dependence on the Holy Spirit in conscious faith. That's also praying in the will of the Spirit. So we don't have to have a feeling to be praying in the Holy Spirit any more than we do to be abiding in Christ. Yes, there should be some rejoicing, but we don't have to be conscious of abiding any more. As Hudson Taylor said, when I was sleeping in a man's home last night, I wasn't conscious of sleeping in your home, but I was just as truly here as if I'd been conscious of it. So we don't have to be conscious of abiding, but we should never be conscious of not abiding. And so abiding in the Spirit or abiding in Christ or walking in Christ or walking by faith or walking by love or praying in the Spirit are not primarily feeling, but faith. A few other quick suggestions, the importance of using a prayer list. I think probably all of you do it. I just find it very, very useful. For many years, I used two kinds of prayer lists, and for at least 10 years, I didn't. And for the last 5 to 10 years, I've been back using the two kinds, so I just want to mention them, since some of you may or may not be using two kinds of prayer lists. One is a long-range prayer list, and one is a short-range prayer list. And it's just very liberating to have both things. Within the last 2 weeks, I've jotted down 2 or 3 things on my short-range prayer list that the Lord wants me to pray about. And they can be speaking engagements of my own or somebody else. They can be some thought that comes to mind. And when the answer comes, if I know the answer, I write it down. If the answer doesn't come, but I'm through praying, I just draw a line through it and move on. That frees my permanent prayer list to be given to people that I want to pray for a long-range time. So here's one of my permanent prayer pages, and here's my little temporary prayer page. And then I carry in this thing, I carry little maps and other things that are helpful. So you can have a prayer notebook or a prayer folder and carry things that help you in your prayer time. And this is all part of giving yourself to prayer and making time for it. The usefulness of a prayer list. And the blessing of a prayer partner. When Jim Chu lived with me in Saigon, Vietnam, we used to meet for prayer every morning. We'd walk back from where we ate breakfast, and we didn't share the word, we didn't talk or any, I mean, we talked on the way and shared the word some, but when we got to a place where we were living, we got down on our knees and prayed. 10, 20, 30, 40 minutes, just prayed. We just made time for it. When Jim came to the States, we found a little spot in a corner of Glen Eyrie, and we made time for prayer. And I frequently have a prayer partner. Of course, now I have a permanent prayer partner, which I didn't have in those days, known as a wife. And a wonderful thing to make your wife your prayer partner. And you can pray for 2 minutes in the kitchen or 3 minutes as she's combing her hair and you're shaving or something else. Or you can pray as you travel on a bus or in a car or on a plane. You can make all sorts of spare minutes for prayer. But in addition to that, make some times where you pray with your prayer partner. Ruth and I like to go for walks in the evening. And we walk for 10 or 15 minutes, and sometimes we pray for all of it. Sometimes we only pray for 1 or 2 minutes. Sometimes we just walk and talk and have short prayer. But even if you have your wife or if you don't have a wife, get somebody else that you're geographically close to and find a prayer partner that you can pray with once or twice a week. It'll be a real blessing. And the last point, give thanks and praise by faith. I think this is so important for the Lord's sake and for our sake. It develops faith, just like persistence develops faith. Why does God want us to keep asking day after day, week after week, year after year? Maybe to change us, perhaps to change our situation, perhaps because there are things that need to be done that can't be done until changes have been made in the other person. Or sometimes, now this is one my wife came up with and it's quite challenging. Sometimes God delays answering our prayers until he can accomplish something in us. We may be the hindrance to our prayers being answered. But in any case, persistence can help those things to become evident and to change. But persistence develops faith and keeps us close to the Lord and dependent on the Lord. And dependence is another way of saying faith. And God wants faith. And thanks, giving thanks, is an act of faith, as we've touched on. And praise, which is, of course, faith like everything else. But praise is just appreciating the Lord for who he is. Thanks may be appreciating the Lord for what he does or what you expect him to do. So maybe at the end of your prayer time, and certainly as some part of it, spend time just absorbed with God, thinking about his attributes, his faithfulness, his gloriousness, his holiness, his power, his wonder-working ability, his love. And God doesn't mind having you tell him every day that you appreciate these things about him and that you love him. So make time for thanks and praise. So we've talked about some of the principles of prayer, and we've talked about some practical lessons of prayer, some things that the Lord has taught me. And there's scripture to develop many of these things, such as prayer's hard work. You'll see how Epaphras labored in prayer, working hard, it says in verses 12 and 13 for them. And so there's scripture for these things. And these are the things that have liberated me or encouraged me, that have helped me to pray. And whoever prays enough? After all, what is enough? You can hear of men that pray for, I know men that used to pray three, I know one man, Thomas Hare, just a plumber, an ordinary layman, and he started praying 3 or 4 hours a day, and then he got to, in addition to his 3 or 4 hours a day, he added one night a week and went right back to plumbing the next day. And after 4 or 5 years, he added a second night and went right back to plumbing. I hope he got the pipes tightened up right and got them connected to the right place. But he found that the Lord restored his strength, and after another 8 or 10 years, he added a third day. So I don't know if he's still alive, but probably not. He's an old man in his 80s if he's alive. But as far as I know, if he's alive, he's still praying 3 or 4 hours a day and 3 nights a week. And he'd probably say, I wish I could pray more. Well, most of us aren't going to get into that category. Some of us might for some period of our life. But I'm sure that we can make time for more prayer and cut out something else that's important and pressing, but less important and less pressing than prayer. Shall we pray? Again, we'll take a moment of silence, and you rehearse to the Lord anything that he said to you. Lord, we're so grateful that we can approach your throne, come into your holy hill, enter into that within the veil where the forerunner has entered for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that through his blood and his merits, we can come continually with confidence to obtain mercy for our failures and appropriate and well-timed help coming just when we need it. We thank you for it. And we need help in prayers and everything else. Now, Lord, take these things that have been shared and sift them out and apply just the right ones to each one of us. Probably not all to all of us, but just the ones that you want in the months ahead. And, Lord, help us in praying not only for physical things, but in the long, persistent prayer it takes to change the lives and characters of others and their ministry abilities and ours. Lord, help us to be persistent and confident and thankful and continue to wait with faith as long as these things are for your glory until you do them. Thank you for these things. We commit ourselves to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.